Who's buying the land? Who's buying the land? The answer is farmers. Farmers are. Farmers are still the largest buyer of Iowa farm ground by a wide margin, nearly 75%. Then if you throw in local investors, you're looking at 86%. So here's the point. It's local capital and local competition that's driving this market. Local capital and local competition that's driving the market. How are they buying it? At auction. Right? At auction. They're competing for it. If you're a seller, if you own farm ground, that's a logical and typical method in a strong market. Put it up for auction. Who knows what they'll bid, right? Here's some information that Randy shared. The number of sales have been going down because those who own the farm ground are thinking, I may want to hang on to it a little bit as it goes up. Lower supply, strong demand. Lower supply, strong demand, that supports price. I think the interesting thing will be is if our sales level gets back to that 6,000 plus, will we have an equal number of motivated buyers for that number of motivated sellers? And here's our last slide on who's buying the land. The bottom line is those with the financial wherewithal to do so. Those with the financial wherewithal to do so. This is data from just about $5 billion worth of real estate transactions at Farm Credit Services of America over the last 3 years. $5 billion worth of real estate transactions. And this slide tells us two things. Number one, farm ground is being purchased from a position of financial strength. And number two, typically the buyers are taking small bites so they don't over-leverage their balance sheet and they keep their land cost per acre in line. Look at the top. That's the profile of the average borrower. Average borrower. Strong liquidity, current ratio of about 2.5 to 1. That means they have cash on hand. Okay? They're not leveraged. Debt to asset ratio of 34%, and they have strong repayment ability. Debt coverage of over 2 to 1. And then you can see the loan terms. Look at 2011. Average amortization of 16 years. Loan to collateral value of 48%. They're bringing substantial cash and collateral to the table. This is not subprime lending. Okay? Farm ground is being purchased from a position of financial strength. Let's talk about a sustainable land value philosophy. Farm Credit Services of America has been using the sustainable land value philosophy for about 5 years, since 2008. The purpose was really to manage the risk for the borrower and the bank. We clearly want to recognize higher commodity production margins, but limit the overreaction to them. And the outcome is to prevent overextending credit in a rapidly increasing market. Let me say that one more time. Prevent overextending credit in a rapidly increasing market. Why? Because we've seen that two times before. Farm ground in the 1980s and the current residential housing issue that this country is still working itself out of. To get to our sustainable land value philosophy, we first calculate a sustainable profit margin. We apply a capitalization rate, and that comes with a sustainable value. Then we apply our loan standard, 65%, to that. And we serve four states, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wyoming, and it varies across our four states based on expense and yield calculations. In Iowa, our maximum sustainable lending levels vary from $4,700 an acre to $5,200. And the key is it's the lower of 65% or the maximum sustainable value. Why have this in place? Think about the current scenario. Commodity production margins are coming under pressure in 2012. higher cash rent, higher input costs, very dynamic and volatile global supply and demand factors, and then when you just think it couldn't get more volatile, right? It does. Weather, drought. Where does this leave us? A very difficult valuation scenario. Very difficult valuation scenario. We have not been here before. The bottom line is the long-term asset, land, is being greatly influenced by short-term economic factors. And I want us to remember the lesson of the 1980s. Rising asset values do not repay loans, right? Rising asset values do not repay loans. They look great on your balance sheet. Any banker has to talk a little bit about interest rates, okay? Here's a concept I want us all to understand. When do we see market highs and market lows? When do we see market highs and market lows? The answer is in the rearview mirror, right? After they've already happened, then we can step back and go, there it was. Remember July of 2010? Again, it's very difficult to time market highs and market lows. It's not good strategy to play a guessing game. So what do we know? What do we know today? We're at a place where we have historic 50 and 60 year interest rate lows. And let me use this phrase, not in our lifetime, okay? Not in our business decision making lifetime have we seen opportunities to manage your long-term interest rate risk. It's an excellent time, again, long-term interest rate risk management. Here's a strategy that many of our customers use, an interest rate ladder. They put some of their real estate debt variable, some short-term fixed, 3, 5, 7 years, and any debt they believe they may have for 10, 15, 20 years, they are really looking at locking that in. They're looking at locking that in. And I suggest it's a great time to do that. Okay? Don't wait till the last day before rates go up, because you'll probably miss it. Okay? Here's the point. I'd rather have you lock in a year too early than a year too late, because it might cost you 50, 75, 100 basis. It's better to be wrong for 1 year and right for 14 than the other way around. Better to be right for 14 years and wrong for one. And then prepayment. We have a lot of prepayment questions. It's not wrong to prepay land debt with current profits. The asterisk is make sure you're keeping adequate liquidity, adequate working capital. But there's always a mistake made here. Many of our customers will come in and say, Jim, I want to prepay my highest interest rate. What is that usually? Your long-term fixed rate. So by prepaying your highest interest rate, you may have just disrupted or eliminated your interest rate risk management strategy. And that may not pay off in a couple years. So be careful about real estate prepayment. Typically, it's best to pay variable first, short-term second, and long-term last. And then finally, let me talk about agricultural production margins. Here's the likely scenario. Higher margins are not permanent. They last for short periods of time, 1, 2, maybe 3 years. Margins tend to normalize over time. That's the business concept. That's true in any business, any industry. It certainly applies to agriculture. Why? Everybody involved in production agriculture wants a piece of your revenue pie, right? So as we look at what repays loans, sometimes it's good to look at what does not. What does not repay loans? Optimism. I just think it's going to work out. Hope. Hope is not a strategy. I said cash grain prices because the cash grain price alone doesn't mean anything. It's the margin. Remember when we said $5 corn and we thought, oh my goodness, if it costing you $4.50 or $4.75 to raise it, it's not there. And of course, lastly, the lesson from the 80s, rising asset values. Do not repay loans. There's only one thing that repays loans outside of the sale of assets, and that's margins or profitability. So again, in these times of significant volatility, it's more important than ever to understand your margins and understand your break-evens. That's how you repay real estate debt. And then the very last slide is one more 2012 land heads up. We have a capital gains tax expiration event coming at the end of the year. Randy mentioned it. I think it's going to be very similar to 2010. I do think we'll see a surge of real estate sales, motivated sellers. Again, the question is, will we see an equal or greater number of motivated buyers?